Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Some days ago, I received an email from Brigitte Müller, and she was telling me that I had initiated her 29 years ago, and I immediately went back to this time where I was then living in Canada, and she came to visit me in the end of January. And she was the first European Reiki master, and she lived in Germany. And it was, I didn't know the significance then of what this moment would bring to Germany and to Reiki and to the world, really. So in thinking about this whole flowering of a life and of the lives of all of her students and of the culture that was in Germany at the time, I decided that I would love to interview her again. If you would to go back, way back into the archives of the first year that I did these interviews, I had an interview with Brigitte, and it was very moving, very touching for me, and I think will is still very potent, even after these 5 years. But now we're going to hear from Brigitte and her life in Reiki, about her life in Reiki. And Brigitte, thank you so much for being able to be in the show again.
Well, yes, I love it. And hello, this is Brigitte. I'm greeting everyone, and I'm very happy to give this interview.
Wonderful.
Yes, it was on the 27th of January, 1983, that was I was initiated by Phyllis. But I want to go back to the time when I first heard of Reiki. I actually was in the process of going back to America, I mean, trying to get another green card. I had lived in the United States in the 60s, but then I got married and I had lost my green card. So I was in Los Angeles, and I went to a meditation get-together at Yogananda's Self-Realization Fellowship. And one man came to me, and he said to me, I have a telepathic call. I should talk with you. The guru tells me I should talk with you. And I said, okay, let's talk. And so then we were sitting together, and it turned out that he was a psychiatrist from Beverly Hills. And during the time, he asked me if I could write some letters for him and on the typewriter. I said, okay, yes, I would do that. And then we had another meeting. And then he told me about a trip that he was going to take up north to Nevada City. And he was giving a workshop there in a meditation camp about Elisabeth Kübler-Ross. And I said, oh, I'm very interested. And I went along. So we came to this meditation camp, and there I met Mary McFadden. She picked us up in her little car, and she was talking about Reiki. And I said, well, what is Reiki? And she says, well, it's a Japanese healing art, and it is hands-on for healing. I said, oh, I'm very much interested. And then she was talking more about it. And I said, would it be possible if you could teach this to me while I'm up here? And she said, yes, I will think about it, and I will let you know tomorrow. But you would have to stay another day after the workshop. That was on a weekend. So the next day she told me, yes, I will teach Reiki to you. So I stayed on after that weekend. I was living in a little wooden house, very small, and it was in the midst of the woods, and the deer was, you could see outside, beautiful. So there I got my first degree, and I had a little tape recorder, and we taped all the things that had to do with the different positions and whatever she had to say about Reiki. Because in those days, there was nothing on writing about Reiki. So I was very happy to receive the first degree. It was very powerful. And I went back to Los Angeles. And right away, I had an experience with my landlady. She cut her finger in the garbage disposal. She had a grapefruit and didn't turn off the electricity and put her hand in anyway. Her finger were blue, were a lot of blood came out of her fingers. So right away I took a Kleenex or a few and put my hands on, and it didn't take long and the blood stopped. So right away, of course, I took her to the hospital because the wound had to be taken care of. So then I put my hands on her solar plexus. She was 84 years old. And she said, and then the doctor said I should go out of that room because they had other things to do. And she said, no, no, she has to stay here. That feels so good. Her hands on my tummy, you know, my solar plexus. So I stayed and I could give her Reiki. So that was my first Reiki treatment that I gave.
Wonderful. So, that's a great story.
Yeah, it healed very, very fast. It didn't blood. There was no blood anymore. And the doctors couldn't believe when they saw it, when she finally got to her. So then I went back in February. That was in December, January. I went back in February to Germany. And I had my first degree. So the first thing I did, I was treating my parents, my father and my mother. And they liked it very much. Of course, they got healing reactions. And Mary had told me that this can happen with Reiki. So I just said to him, that's okay. It's just a healing reaction. And that was really wonderful to see how my parents changed. And then my mother said, oh, I want to have Reiki too. And I said, okay, maybe Mary will come to Germany. So I had asked Mary before, I had told her right away while I was up there and I got my first degree. I said, well, I have a feeling this is my path. I would like to become a Reiki master and teach Reiki in Germany and not return to the United States to live there, but go back to Germany. And would you be able to come to Germany if I arrange a class for you? Oh, yes, she said, if you have enough people and my travel expenses are taken care of, then I will come. So this was in June. I was living in Hamburg at the time. We had about 28 people in the class. And I translated for her. That was Hamburg. And then I had moved to Frankfurt during that time. And I had another workshop for her that was in Frankfurt, and my mother attended on that, and she got the first degree. So I also did the translation for Mary, and I got my training for becoming later on a Reiki master teacher. So then, of course, I contacted Phyllis Frumoto. I contacted you, Phyllis, and you said to me, it's not the time yet. We have to wait first. I was supposed to come in October. But then, no, it isn't the time yet. And then finally, in January, she said, yes, you can come. So I first I flew to San Francisco. And the plane that was in those days, they had these propeller planes. And one propeller went off or something. Anyway, we had to do a landing in another city. Finally, when we arrived, we had about 12 hours delay. And, of course, Fran Brown, the Reiki master who was going to pick me up, she was not at the airport because it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I called her and she says, oh, I'll be right there. And then she picked me up and I stayed with her for a few days. And she was also talking and giving me Reiki and we had a wonderful time. So then I went up to meet Phyllis in Nelson, British Columbia, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so, and then I had the honor to sleep in the guest room of hers where Mrs. Takada also had slept when she was visiting Phyllis. So we, in the first, I was about there 3 weeks, we traveled a lot, we drove through the woods and there was a lot of snow everywhere. Oh, it was beautiful. And we met other Reiki masters that were also had been initiated by either Phyllis or Mrs. Takata. And then finally, after 3 weeks, we were at a little town where we were giving a little information day about Reiki. And we were giving treatments, and then I treated all day long. The people came into the room, and we gave about a half hour each one Reiki. And in the night, all of a sudden, Phyllis said to me, "Tomorrow I will initiate you." Or, I don't know, maybe 2 days later. Anyway, that night she gave me the master symbol, and I could learn it. And then we called Mary McFadden, which was my Reiki master teacher. And she came up to Sacramento. We were picking her up. Was it Sacramento? Yeah, on the airport. And on the way to the airport, the wipe shield, the name.
Windshield wipers.
The windshield wiper, because there was a lot of snow coming down, stopped. So we couldn't drive anymore because we couldn't see anything. So Phyllis said, "Oh, we're going to give Reiki on the machine and on the windshield wiper." So that's what we did. And all of a sudden, they started again. And we could continue our trip to pick up Mary McFadden. And then we drove back, and they worked perfectly. So this was beautiful. That unbelievable. So then the next day was my initiation, 27th of January. We drove with a car really into one of the cabins of, I can't think, what was her name?
Bethel Fay.
Bethel Fay, right. We drove to the cabin of Bethel Fay.
In the middle of the woods.
And there were traces of a bear in the snow, you know?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and then we took we made the little fire in the cabin, and we took the snow to make some tea. We had to melt the snow to make tea. So and then we went, we were in the cabin, and then, of course, that beautiful moment came when Phyllis initiated me, and my camera went broke because from the energy, and later on, there was a very beautiful picture after I was initiated, where the light was seen on that picture. I showed it to you, Phyllis. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a very beautiful time. And then we went back to Phyllis's house, and she had some beautiful big prunes in her freezer. And I said, "Oh, you could make a German plum cake with streusel if you want," because in the evening we had a first degree class. So the first try to make this cake, I had the temperature too high in the oven, so it burned, so that I made another one, and that came out beautiful. And in the evening, we had our class, and afterwards we had the German plum cake with streusel and with whipped cream, of course.
Of course.
Yes, and that tasted wonderful. And then also, when we were initiating, then Phyllis allowed me to do my first initiations on the people, which was a very, very beautiful experience. I mean, I cannot put it in words. Now I'm getting the goose pimples in my, all this energy I can feel in my whole body. My body is right now is vibrating from just to think about this.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's really wonderful. I am very much connected with Reiki. And I am so, so grateful that Reiki came into my life. It changed my life. And I know I have changed the lives through Reiki for many, many, many people. Because later on, after the initiation, we went to another class. We had a second degree class. And so we spent another week together. And later on, I went down south to the Encinitas, to the Self-Realization Fellowship Retreat, to have everything, to integrate everything.
Right. I thought that was a good thing to do.
That was wonderful. And then when I came back to Germany, of course, I treated my parents with Reiki and started right away with my friends to give in my little apartment the first degree class. And in those days, I had a boxer, a German dog, and he loved Reiki very much too. He was always with me. So, but he died then in 1983, a half year later he died. Yeah, unfortunately. But it was a time that he was already 12 years old, and for this type of dog, this is a good age. But he still got a lot of Reiki in the last years, last months of his life. Yeah. Then I met Phyllis again in August. We were in Switzerland at this Congress.
Yes, that was fabulous.
Congress. Yeah, and the Dalai Lama spoke there. So from then on, I started giving workshops. And the workshops were just crowded. I mean, I went to all different cities. Of course, I started in Frankfurt and in Hamburg because I had more friends there. And because they could feel so much difference after they had been initiated, that they could feel this Reiki energy, that they were talking to other people. And so it was mouth by mouth, and I would say also hand by hand, and distributed. I worked every weekend. I had workshops. I was traveling many, many years. And so until about 1986, I went to Poland. And there was still the Iron Curtain. And that was my most, how could I say, wait a minute, most intensive Reiki experience that I ever had, because in the first workshops there were about 110 people, and I had another friend, another Reiki master working with me. But later on she got a migraine headache, so then next day she couldn't work anymore. So I was there alone with 110, and then there were other people waiting. They also wanted another class. So then 2 days later, after this initiating the first group, I initiated the second one. And this was another 130 or so. And I was initiating for maybe nine hours straight. That was unbelievable. And of course, the people, they could feel this energy, and they were changing their faces. They lit up. They were radiating. They were radiating in love. And they said to me, the first time that we are feeling peace in our life and love, this is really fantastic. So I must say that this was really the most beautiful experience in my life, with all these 270 people in 4 days initiating. So after that, that was a whole group from Frankfurt. We had traveled there. We went to concentration camps. And of course, this was terrible, because I was so open from all this Reiki initiation that I couldn't believe what I saw and what I felt. So anyway, after that, went back to Germany, and we had our Reiki Master Conference. And during that time, I really had to scream so loud. I had to let out all this energy. Uh-huh. And there were some people who had done rebirthing, and they put me on the floor and they did rebirthing with me. So I could really transform all this energy. My body felt like it was blocks of cement. How do you say it? Cement? I think it is. Do you know what cement
yeah,
is?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah.
I could feel like it was tons of cement on my body. And after the treatment of the rebirthing, I felt like I was a ball of rubber. I mean, I was so light, I could jump around, and I just felt great. So that was also a great help, that I could receive this with all the Reiki masters that were attending. So,
beautiful.
Yeah. Well, so then later on, of course, I continued with my traveling, and the classes were always full. I had a waiting list, and this went on until about maybe 19, 92, 93, something like this. Then I went to Switzerland. I lived in Switzerland for about 4 years. And of course, we continued Reiki there too. And I still went back to Germany and gave classes here. So I went back and forth. Mm-hmm. But in 99, I returned to Germany. And my mother was still alive. She was in those days, she was about 87. And that was good because I could take care of her, that I was in her near to her.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In 1994. And I was at his bedside when he went, and I was giving him Reiki. And so I think I could really help him also in the transmission to go to the other side. And later on, my mother had she died in 2001, and I was at her hospital bed 3 days, day and night, holding her hand and talking to her and waiting on so that she would leave. Mm-hmm. And so I could also help her, and Reiki helped me a lot. I mean, that was the most difficult time for me. But Reiki helped me a lot to do this, to be there all the time, because she had asked me, will you stay with me? I said, yes. So I'm very happy that I could do this. So that was very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I went into an animal shelter, and I saw this dog, and that was love at first sight, my Sammy. Sammy was a mixture of a fighting dog, you know, an American Staff mix. And I took him home. It wasn't easy with him, but he loved Reiki. And he was in every workshop with me. And he was always going to the people who were afraid. He was always sitting near them. One time I had a person, she on Saturday morning, she says, oh no, I am so much afraid of this dog. I want to leave the workshop. I said, oh no, so I said, you can heal your fear of dogs. And he's okay. Everything is fine. So anyway, she stayed, and he was sitting at her side all the time. And on Sunday morning, she stroked him, and she was in peace and love with him.
Wow. So that's wonderful.
He always helped, you know. That was wonderful, yeah. So unfortunately, he also died in 2009, but I also could help him to leave the earth and go over the Rainbow Bridge. So now I have been teaching not so many workshops anymore, because since Reiki there are so many different Reiki classes or Reiki forms of Reiki going on, that the people are a bit concerned, because many of these different Reiki seminars do not transmit the real Reiki energy. And then they feel this. And I get many calls or even emails when people say, well, I've been in this such and such a class and I don't feel anything. And what do you say? And so some of them are coming into my classes then. And they tell me this is something totally different. Now I really feel it, and I'm very grateful for it. So I must say, people have to use discrimination where they go, if what master they're going to and what school they want to go to. It's very important where people get their Reiki. So this, of course, also has led to it that Reiki has also received a bad reputation in Germany, because he will, oh, well, no, don't have to go there and so forth. But now people are really discriminating, and they're finding out, they're looking, they're not going everywhere. So, of course, many Reiki masters also from our school have problems to get a Reiki class, you know. Even so, the energy is beautiful and everything, but it's not so good that this bad reputation started. So I'm very sorry about this too, because Reiki, after all, is just wonderful. I treat myself with Reiki every day, And I always have my hand someplace on me, and I'm giving sometimes, I'm giving some, of course, some treatments to my students that would like to have a treatment. And many healings have happened, and the people are changing. Of course, in the class, what happens is that emotions come up. Sometimes they're crying or laughing. This is another thing. Or even they're having healing reactions, like they're getting a rash, or they have headaches, or all sorts of detoxification. Detoxification, I think is the right word. That happens during the class. And they go through quite a bit. Sometimes they have a fight with their husbands in the evening, on Saturdays, usually after the third initiation. But then on Sunday, everything is okay again when they have finished their classes. So it's really wonderful to see the change, what happens to the people that receive the first or later on, but also the second degree. Do you have any more questions?
For our listeners, I just want you to know that Brigitte wanted to know sort of the questions that I might ask her. So she's gone through the list, which was very good. Thank you. Was wonderful. And one of the things that happened to me when I was in Germany in the earlier days and taught my class with another Reiki master that I initiated, what I experienced, and because I'm an American, it really made an impression on me. I realized that in having been a part of a massive war, that a lot of people in Germany were would come to Reiki classes and find a place to start their healing of their own presence during the war. And I found this to be very startling at first, and then realized that Reiki doesn't work just on a personal level, but also on a kind of cultural level. And I wondered if you had observed this yourself in your Reiki classes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, especially the older people. Well, I have also been, I was a child during the war. I can remember very, very well. And especially the older ladies, they sometimes started crying, and all sorts of old things came up, you know, even from the war.
Uh-huh.
And of course, what also was going on afterwards. And that was really terrible. And if you look around in the world, what's going on today, I mean, there's still war. And we, right now in television, they're showing a lot of these pictures or films from 50, 60, more years ago when there was the war. And you see the pictures with the cities totally destroyed. And of course, this brings up again the memory. You know,
interesting
people. And every time I see something like this, the same thing I remember.
Uh-huh.
And then they had one time, they had the movie about when the people were from the East Prussia, East Prussia, you know, they had to leave their home and on that big track that they came over the Baltic Sea that was frozen.
Yes.
The movie on, oh, that was terrible. And many people remembered that. And then they were crying also in the workshop because this stuff comes up still, you know, even in the last few years.
Really?
Really?
This is really a deep impact that happens. Mm-hmm. A war, deep impact on a person, on the emotions and everything.
Yeah.
Because you also, you know, maybe the husband was in the war. My father was also in Poland and in Russia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, and the women had had lost their husband or a son or a daughter and all this what happened. And also the raping what that went on. There were many also women who had been raped during the war, and that came up in the class.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
In truth, I never thought about that, but of course that does happen during the wars. And I feel that lately in the United States anyway, they're beginning to recognize the trauma that happens with everybody in war. I mean, not just soldiers, but the other people who are also involved.
Yes, I heard that in the news also, you know, that these soldiers that are coming back, they're really having a trauma, and so many are killing themselves also.
Yeah.
I know. And of course, we are sending out a lot of Reiki to the world too, so that the light will shine mm-hmm. on the world and the people will learn not to have wars anymore. I don't know if this can happen. It would be nice if we had a world without war.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if even just for one day there would be no more war?
And it was also when I was initiated as Reiki Master, of course there still was the division. That was my inner wish, that we could do something, that the wall would be destroyed and Germany would be won again. And I had initiated Rina von Kalka. I mean, she was a 1 and 2 degree student. And then she was initiated by you, Phyllis. And then she went to Eastern Germany behind the Iron Curtain in Berlin and taught Reiki. And that was very, very difficult and dangerous. It had to be done in secret, you know, because the police was everywhere and they could have put you in jail for that. So I think what she did was really great.
It was very courageous of her.
It was courageous, that's right. Yeah, very, very courageous. And so I'm glad that finally we have won Germany again. You know, we have, the war was taken away.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm sure this helped also, because we changed the energy in Germany, you know, with also many people having Reiki and having different energies and sending out light. We could change many, many old karmic things. And so maybe this helped that it happened that the wall broke away.
Yeah, I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
Mainly because the way that the wall opened was so
peaceful,
miraculous. Yeah. You know, it was like all of a sudden it was clear that it was there physically, but it wasn't there. It was like a miracle somehow.
That's true.
And even today, people are trying to figure out how this happened, and they can't figure it out.
Well, there was some in the internet that somebody said that this man who was announced it. I forgot his name. You know, the German, the East German from the government.
Yeah.
They said something, then all of a sudden they said, oh, the wall is coming down, and then they had to open it. It was something like this. He made a mistake talking about it. That's what they said on the internet. And then they couldn't get back. They had to open it. I have to look at this again in the internet to find out, because they even had it on a video, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was great joy everywhere.
It was.
And finally, you know, 2-3 years ago, I went to my hometown, to Leipzig, which I hadn't been for all these years. And I went to the house where I used to live as a child. And I went also to where my mother came from, to the town, which was Weißenfels. And I met a cousin of mine that I have never seen in my life before. So that was nice.
It was wonderful. Brigitte, that's so wonderful to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can say this, and I was standing at, this was an apartment block, you know, in Leipzig, and outside it looked different, you know, maybe had a different door, and I'm looking through the window into the inside of coming into the house, you know, right. And I'm seeing the door of the cellar, and right away my remembrance came. I was at school. I was 6 years old, and all of a sudden the big siren was coming on, and which meant is a low flying alert from the aeroplanes, low flying, you know, which meant they were shooting on you, you know, and all the children had to go home. And I actually had to take the trolley car, the streetcar, for about half an hour to go home. And first I'm walking on trees, and there'll be houses and everything, and all above the airplanes. And then I'm coming to quite a long area where there were only little gardens and a few trees, and above three low flying airplanes. And I'm walking there. And finally I come home, and I come to the door and see that cellar door. And my mother comes out and says, everybody was in the cellar, of course, all the people from the house, you know. And my mother says, oh, I'm glad you're home now. They didn't shoot on me. I guess I have to do something in this life, so it wasn't my time yet to go. Uh-huh. And a guardian angel, really. Oh, I never forget that.
That is amazing.
And, you know, the minute I saw this door, this remembrance came back. Uh-huh. So everything is in, how do you say, gespeichert, is it's German, it is saved in the subconscious.
Everything is saved inside of us, that's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I must say Reiki has really changed my life, and also has given me so many new friends also, you know, with some of them. Some of the masters that I initiated, we really have become close friends. And unfortunately, they are all in different cities, in different countries.
Right.
But we still have contact about, we're talking on the telephone or also Skype and email. So it's nice to have friends all over the world.
Yes, that's right. Well, Brigitte, this has been such a lovely interview, although you carried it mostly yourself, which was great. And I just want to thank you for sharing your memories and your stories, because I think it's very important that as Reiki students, we all remember that it's not just about us, you know, as individuals, but it's also the people that we live around and that are past, and also our country's past.
Yes.
And yeah, that Reiki influences everything.
Yeah, that's right. And you, I was, it was great. I found a new publisher for the book. For the Reiki book that I wrote, of course, it was out in German, but I found a publisher in the United States. And it came out last year with a new translation and a better translation, and also a very nice cover picture. And this was actually also a picture that was painted by a lady I met at a conference in Arizona. And it was my vision of Reiki, this pink Reiki heart coming from the sky, with the light coming down into the hands and the rose in the middle of the hands in all different colors. Because Reiki is the light of all colors. And this is what we are transmitting with our hands, the love and the light of God. And the book is called A Complete Book of, wait a minute, I've got to look. I have it here. A complete book of Reiki healing. Heal yourself, others, and the world around you. Because this is what we're doing. With hands of light, we are healing the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish all the people that have Reiki a wonderful time and many beautiful experiences with Reiki, and all the others that do not have Reiki yet, I wish that they will receive Reiki soon and have it in their life to help them with all the problems that we're going through. And it will always strengthen you, and it will give you joy. It will give you joy, because this is what Mrs. Takada also said. It is like a wave of joy. And in this regard, I wish everybody wonderful experiences. With love and light, Brigitte. Yours, Brigitte. Thank you, Phyllis, that you gave me the opportunity to give this interview.
You're welcome. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.